The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello, I'm Kiran Kapoor, and this time around we're looking at how you move into an international market. My guest today is Nandan Sengupta, who has first-hand experience with taking a product to India. He tells us of some of the challenges he faced, some of the differences in the market.
I would say in Southern Asia or in Middle East, many of the influencers are not the students, but their parents, their friends, their relatives.
Some differences are subtle and some are major.
Unless you can establish a trust in case of a B2B marketing with your potential partner, it's not really going to work.
It's a fascinating insight into how you grow internationally.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
So I'm joined today by Nandan Sengupta, who has been the Cambridge Marketing College's ambassador in India for some years now, and is also a lecturer both for India universities and recently for Anglia Ruskin. Nandan, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on. How long have you been a college ambassador for India?
Thanks for having me. I am a college ambassador for seven years. Actually, it started in 2013. With Cambridge Marketing College as their college ambassador and started working in Indian market.
And you came to us with the idea that we should be doing things in India. What made you think it was a ripe marketplace for education?
Right. Actually, you see, I mean, that I probably have to go a little back in time. In 2007, I think I joined Cambridge Marketing College as a student, as a matured student, of course. For CIM, and when I started to go through this particular program, I realized that this is an extremely well thought practical program which could benefit the Indian people, Indian students, or whoever is in Indian management education. Because the reason was very, very strange, because the Indian education system, I don't mean any offense to anyone, but it was slightly dated at that time, not now. And they did depend on some sort of theoretical things, you know, bookish things, and not on practical experiences or case studies. So at that very time, I thought it would be a great success in Indian market. But actually, I came up with the idea during, 2011 or 12, when I have had an opportunity to join a trade delegation from UK to India, and then I really realized that the education space in India is going to open up so much, biggest belief, basically. So that is why and how I came up with the idea and approached Charles, who was there at that time, Charles Nixon. So he agreed. And then he asked you to take over, and then we are here.
Okay, so let's start with what the Indian education marketplace was like then, because I think what's always fascinating is when somebody sees a market and goes, there's an opportunity. So what was the market like at that point?
Oh, well, Indian education market was and still is very much dependent on the output which is relevant to employment generation. That was there, that is still there. Right. Now, when they do that, the belief that was there at that time was a good, a brilliant qualification or a brand name of the institution would get you through, for good amount of starting salary. And that was it. So basically, in the Indian marketplace, there were certain premier institutes. I'm talking about only in management sciences, management business studies, but it holds good for all other subjects. There were certain premier institutes, and they were always oversubscribed while the applications came through. But the other institutes were actually struggling because they just fell in place and tried to convince the students that they can get jobs for them through placement and stuff. At that time, they were never really, thinking of making their brand more and more approachable, more and more effective by adding value to their brand by providing real knowledge and application-based knowledge, I would say.
So it was a very brand-based society, education market. So you went to the big brands, if you possibly could, and all the other institutions, from what I'm hearing, were sort of scrabbling around but not really differentiating themselves in the marketplace.
That is absolutely right. They were not differentiating, and they were not able to differentiate because they didn't know how to differentiate, honestly. And there is one other factor in Indian education market, that is the decision making. The decision making of the students are heavily influenced by the parents because they are the paymasters, which is not the case in UK or in Europe. It's quite different. Even for a professional qualification, the students expect help from their parents, and they do get it. And since the parents think in that, I would use the term, in that archaic way, they probably don't understand, or rather didn't understand, the value of application-based practical experience and education. Internship was definitely not a favored word in Indian education system. It was all about two things: who is going to give you the degree, which institute, and how much is the starting salary the students are getting who are coming through that institute. So that was it. So institutes were struggling too.
So what you saw was an opportunity to help the less well-known institutes, or the less sort of prestigious branded institutes, to find a marketplace. And it's fascinating, because as a marketer you can see that in so many different markets as well as the education market. So your intention at that stage was that you were going to offer value added to those less premier, less prestigious institutes.
That was right. Initially we thought we would do that. Well, it proved a little bit difficult because, honestly, Cambridge Marketing College did not do any work in India before that, and it had no footprint. So the first task was to create some footprint, and that is why we started to promote some B2C, that is our CIM courses and stuff, directly to the customers. We got some responses. We started getting noticed. And then after a couple of years, we started getting folks from institutes. And then we went into the B2B scenario, which we originally thought we should do. And that's how it started. So basically in 2007, we first cracked the whole thing and started giving seminars on behalf of a university. And from that point till then, we have had about four or five other institutes coming in our fold and collaborating with us. They are asking for several things, like designing a course, or designing a content, how to run a course, what kind of course they should get from us, all sorts of things. So things started moving, I would say.
Okay, so again, there's some lovely lessons there for anybody trying to enter a marketplace. So we started off thinking, and you've already said you and I were working together, so I thought slightly arrogantly that we were going to go out there and just start selling what we had always sold within the UK, and we were going to offer it at the same price. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite happy to say that was completely and utterly wrong on my part. So talk a little bit about how you have to adapt a product for a marketplace.
Right. Okay. No, I wouldn't say it was quite wrong, because I completely understood at that time that you wanted to keep the premier element in it by having a certain pricing strategy. And I agreed to that. I agreed that I would try on that basis. We did. But the point is, India is an extremely price sensitive market. So it is always a volume game in India, because there are too many options. And when we went in there, what I observed is that, yes, there are people who would go for that. you know, that kind of a price level, but that's not going to give us the volume that we are going to expect from a market like that, you know, a market of that size, I mean. So we started coming down on the price. It was, I would say, it was more like a trial and error phase. And, you know, it was a learning to us as well. We started to find the right kind of pricing strategy, which eventually we found. We came down on the lower side, of course. We redesigned the product just a bit. We went into, I should say, not micro modules, but smaller modules, so that we can spread out our products as under one envelope. So we did all that, and that started to really, you know, generate interest in the market. The main reason of this price thing is that in India there are so many institutes, so-called institutes, offering digital marketing or marketing or management thing. And since, as I said, the ultimate output should be based on the kind of job that the candidates are getting, they look at it as an investment, the price of the course fee, learning fee, as an investment. And so they always calculate on the ROI of the whole thing. So unless we can prove that we are worth the premium they are going to pay us, it's very difficult to crack the market with that.
So there was a price change. There was a product change, so an adapting the product to that marketplace. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing you talked about was actually changing the customer base that we were aiming at. So in our case, we went from a B2C to a B2B. So how can we unpack how that came about? Because again, that applies to so many other marketplaces.
Well, honestly, that came about initially through networking, connected marketing, basically. Since I am from that country, I knew a few people and approached them, and I was just lucky probably there. So I got certain contacts who were interested to have something new as a differentiating element to what they're offering to the market. Because by that time, these 3 years or 4 years have passed, and these institutes have started to understand that unless they differentiate themselves, there is no chance that they're going to get somewhere. And during those years, Indian market was actually opening up slowly, but it was opening up, which actually helped bring in a few other players into the market. So the market was kind of shaping up, and all the players in the domestic market were able to see how a modern education should be designed in some cases. But not every institute was able to, you know, get in touch with, let's say, Berkeley or Cambridge and just, you know, get some sort of association with them. It was not possible. So they were looking for this kind of help from other institutes who are modern, who are efficient, and I took that chance, frankly. So I just found out the people who wanted to do that, who wanted to differentiate themselves. And the first one I got through was West Bengal University of Technology. And so when they approached us initially, all I said was that just give us some time, give us some opportunity to present our case. They did that and it worked. So that was the first case. And after that, it was all like through references. We did not spend much on advertisement. It came through references, because in India, if you spend in advertisement, you're very welcome to do that. But the point is, unless you can establish a trust in case of a B2B marketing with your potential partner, it's not really going to work. And to be able to do that, you really need to understand the heterogeneity of the culture. I mean, the business culture, the social culture, the heterogeneity that exists in the market, what they want, what they should have, and how to fill that gap in between. Because you cannot just say and tell them all you're doing is crap. No, you cannot. you have to slowly modify them.
So I don't think we ever did that, but yes, you're right, and you make such a valid point about understanding a culture, and I think that is one of the big things with international marketing and trying to move into another marketplace, that you've got to understand the mindset of the people that you the people you are trying to attract as customers.
Yep.
So the Indian marketplace, as you intimated at the beginning, has changed. I mean, the whole world has changed. 2020 is going to be one of these fracture years where there are so many changes happening. So what's the how is the Indian market changed now?
It's extremely interesting because only this year they are going through a very big change, two big changes. Number one is the government of India has launched a totally new national education policy. They are calling it NEP, you know, just the short form acronym. Now, that policy was totally, you know, something new. It is actually allowing all the foreign investors in education space, which were not allowed in India at that level. Now, this is one change. And the second change is that the Data Privacy Act, which was actually it did not exist there. There were certain rules like cyber crime and cyber privacy and all that, but there was no constructed Data Privacy Act, which they have suggested, the India government, I mean, and it is going through the parliament right now. But these two in conjunction are actually attracting the big players in the education space, like Stanford, like Cornell, like, you know, Leicester University, and so on and so forth. There are many, actually. Imperial College is also there. They are also associating with some institutes. Because it is much safer now to go into Indian market and play with your intellectual property rights because of the Data Privacy Act, which is coming into action in a few months' time. Secondly, the NEP, it is still in the, you know, it's not law yet, it is in the parliament, but it will be. It is allowing these people to get into the market and to associate with big players over with there with a major stake in that process, which was not allowed. And they can repatriate their profits to some extent. Maybe within a couple of years, those financial movements will be very smooth. So if the process, since the process is setting in, that is why the Indian market is, I think, is going to be flooded with a lot of players, which means that the Indian institutes are going to have a lot of options, but at the same time, the big players cannot really afford to do each and everything from, you know, a remote place. They will have to associate, I should say, more effectively with the Indian market and that Indian associations. And that is where you need the expertise. As I said, the culture, the heterogeneity, and there will be clashes. There will be time lags. There will be lags in understanding. You know, so perceptions, managing those things will be the most important thing. That is a process management issue, of course, not marketing. But then again, that is going to affect the delivery finally. So I think the Indian market is changing to a very positive direction. There will be lots of opportunity, lots of spaces where one can walk in and start working, but there will be initially at least a lot of fuzz as well. You know, you really need to understand what's what and who you are going to be associated with. Due diligence is extremely important there. So that is how it is going to change. And there is a third change which is extremely important. It's going to help the whole scenario. That is the online thing, like, you know, the Zoom, the WebEx, the Teams, everything. India as a country was never really fascinated by the online teaching. They were more dependent on the classroom teaching. because they believe that is the way. Now, the point is, these days, that is not the way. And you cannot do that under the COVID situation. So when they were compelled to really revert to these online procedures, they started seeing the advantages. And now this online thing has caught on so much that I guess even after the COVID, once it is over, even then the online will be there. So that will be a boon for the blended learning situation, which can bring down the cost for the whole process. And obviously that will help us, or like many other institutes, like Cambridge Marketing College. So yeah, that's it.
Okay, yes, I mean, it is fascinating how only 2 years ago we were still being told it was a high touch culture and the idea of online learning was just never going to work. And yep. Now suddenly it's being embraced to a huge level. And in fact, many of the many school children are still being taught online. They are required to stay at home and learn remotely. So clearly they think this is the way that you learn. Children yep. are endlessly adaptable. Nandan, before you go, would you have any sort of hints and tips for a company that might be looking to move into an international marketplace? We'll use India as the example, but are there sort of some two or three things that you would say this is what you must consider?
I would say, first of all, the business culture. So that is extremely important in my opinion, because no one likes to be told how they should run their business. In any international business association. So you have to be in such a situation where you can understand what this guy is really requiring, really needing. And even then, you should be able to give him that, but you should be able to make him feel like that we are equals, even if you are not. So the cultural interface is extremely important. The market dynamics, who are the influencers? I am talking specifically about the education market. I would say in Southern Asia or in Middle East, many of the influencers are not the students, but their parents, their friends, their relatives who give them advice. So the market dynamics in terms of influencers are extremely important. Number three, if you want to get an associate, then be very careful. I really don't want to sound negative, but the thing is, don't take anyone's word for it. Just like, you know, cross-check and double-check as much as you can. And for that, there are plenty of helps available from the, you know, DIT and departments like that. Try to go with, if you have to take an associate, try to go with someone who is known to you or who is established in the market to some extent. Not the very big players, because then they will try to swallow you and, you know, command you. So those are the three things I would say are the most important things, probably, you know, apart from market research and stuff, which are standard stuff, basically.
Nandan Simgupta, thank you so much for your time. That was absolutely fascinating. And there's so many good ideas there for moving into any new marketplace, but obviously specifically for India. Nandan, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, and have a good day.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.
Coming up next time on the Cambridge Marketing Podcast, we look at PR and communications with Alan Anstead. See you next time.